Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to come these days. I've enjoyed my time. I always do enjoy my time here with you. I've been coming for a good number of years, mostly on the Friday night jubilees down through the years, and I've enjoyed our time. Thank you for all that you've given monetarily. Thank you for providing me a nice place to stay. And please pray for us that the Lord will continue to help us and to use us. I'm certainly not as young as I used to be. And matter of fact, I found out today I'm older today than I've ever been in my life. And we all resemble that remark. But I'm tired physically, but I have a greater desire now to do for the Lord more than I've ever had in my life. I think I see the end coming one way or the other, and that puts an incentive in my heart to do what I can for the glory of God. I personally believe, and I don't deal with politics. I'm a preacher. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. But I really believe that God has, in Ezra chapter 9, there's a scripture there that refers to Ezra's prayer where that Cyrus had relieved the captives from Babylon and they were coming back to rebuild the temple. And there's a statement made in Ezra's prayer that he's referring to that space of time as a little space of grace. Yes, and I'm convinced that God has given the church a little space of grace in these days.
Yes, sir, brother.
Nobody can figure out. Matter of fact, there's still the other party is still trying to figure out how they lost. And they're still saying that that's the priority on the news media. If you're watching the liberal news media, they're trying to figure out, how did we lose? How did we lose? And I thought, well, the way you lost is God unrigged your rigging. You can put this down. You can put this down. They're trying to recount four different states now. Well, what they're going to find out is it's going to do them more harm than it's going to do good. And what I believe is that God has divinely intervened in behalf of the prayers of the people of God. You can believe what you want to, but I believe that God did that. It's no other explanation. God's given us a little space of grace. And we need to take advantage of every inch of that space. And if we're going to get anything done for the Lord, we better get it done now. Now. Well, I'm fairly convinced that the Lord wants to do for us in these hours. Thank you for letting me come. If you're ever down in our neck of the woods, couple of hours from here, there's been some young folk that came to one of our youth services, and we appreciate that so much. We're not having that now. We're hoping to restart that in the future. Here's where I am, and I guess I think differently and operate differently, but until God becomes the priority, until he becomes the priority and praising takes priority over playing, we're not going to do anything.
Yes, sir.
And we're not going to appease the flesh until folk decide that they're going to put God first. And that's certainly contrary to popular operation in these days. If you're ever down there, stop in and see us. Liberty Baptist Church. You can find us online at libertybaptist.org, liberty-baptist.org. or libertybaptist.church, or you can find us on Sermon Audio. There's just a number of places that you can find the ministry, and if you would be interested, then you can look us up there. I've enjoyed these nights. I enjoyed last night more than I did Wednesday night. I enjoy it when I get to see it and God manifest himself. And I get to enjoy that. That don't happen very often. And I love it when it does. And I've enjoyed it. And I want us to open our Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 55. I'm sorry, 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I told somebody when I came in, Brother Craig, I told him, I said, something is trying to captivate me. And I don't feel well physically, but my throat is, my voice is all messed up, and what's in my head is getting down in my chest cavities. But I'm trying to fight it off with vitamin C. There was one nurse told me, said, if you feel that coming on, take so many vitamin C's, you can't take them anymore. So I did that today. And so I may turn into a vitamin C. But I do feel some better. I really do. And somebody said, why don't you get some of that synthetic medicine? Man, that stuff will kill you. You know that? Isaiah chapter number 45. Let's stand, if you will. You're going to anyway. In verse number 1, I want us to notice the wording here. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I'll leave off reading there tonight. I'll comment briefly on the text here. But I want to deal basically tonight where the Lord said to King Cyrus, I will, in verse 3, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I'm interested in the treasures that's found in the darkness. And I want to preach tonight on God's night shift. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering tonight in the house of the Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our midst these nights. Thank you, Lord, for the touch of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the glory of God that's been our portion. I thank you, Lord, for Rogersville Baptist Temple. I pray, God, your blessings be upon them. I pray, Lord, that you would pull a big umbrella of protection, of the grace of God down around about them. I pray that you'd run the devil off, and God, that you would help them in these days. I'm glad that you're the God who can do that. I would ask you now to bless Brother Barry as he labors here. I pray you would give him divine direction and the church would follow suit as he follows you. Now, Lord, have your way tonight. I know my inabilities. Lord, I'm physically tired and weak, but I pray more than you helping me physically. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with yourself, that it may be poured out to this awaiting congregation. I don't know the hearts of individuals here. I heard some testimonies last evening about situations and circumstances. But I pray, oh God, that you would give a word of encouragement, enlightenment, inspiration tonight. And for that one here that's unsaved, you would bring them into the acknowledgement of yourself. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. We find in our text tonight that the setting of this text is that the words that are spoken here in Isaiah 45 are spoken to a heathen king, a king that did not even know God. Matter of fact, he tells him that in verse 4. He said, God said, I have surnamed thee. In other words, I've given thee another name that I know you by. And he said, though thou hast not known me. God, he said to King Cyrus, he said, Cyrus, I know your name, whether you know mine or not. And I'm glad that God knows everything. I'm glad that he does. And we find here that this king is the king of Persia. You remember the nation of Israel had been taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. But then during Belshazzar's reign, we find that the Medes and the Persians, on the night that Belshazzar threw that great feast and the handwriting came on the wall, they took captive the Babylonians. They overthrew the nation of Babylon. And now King Cyrus has taken captive of the Lord's people. Now, what's an amazing truth is that sometimes the people of God can be made double captives. Now listen to what I'm saying. They had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And then in their stay there, another heathen nation has taken captive the nation that took Israel captive. And now they become a double captive. My point is this. If you don't get loose from the first thing that's got you incarcerated, something else will come along and take over, and then you become a double captive. Now, we find that Cyrus here is a man that God has called in verse number 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. What an unusual thing to say about a man that doesn't even know God. That's the only time in Scripture, Brother Henry, this is the only time that God calls an unsaved person his anointed. Now we do understand that Satan, before he fell, was Lucifer, and he was the anointed cherub that covereth. But here, this is a human being, and God calls him his anointed. You know what that tells me? Listen to me very carefully here. That tells me that the oil of God had been poured on this man, even though he's not, doesn't know God, to accomplish the work that God has for his own people. Hallelujah. Somebody said Donald Trump's not saved. He may not be, But if God can do it for King Cyrus, he can do it for us. Amen. Now, we find here that the reason that God chosen him was on behalf of his people to deliver them. Look what the scripture says. He said in verse 1, he said, "Thy right hand have I holden to subdue nations before him." And he said in verse 4, "For my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name." He didn't do it for Cyrus. He did it for his people. Can I tell you, you know whose eye, whose people, or who the eye of God is on tonight? It's not the whole world. He knows everything that's going on, but there's a little remnant of people in the world that still believes on him and calling on him. And God arranges the affairs of the world to take care of his people. Hallelujah. Well, I wish I felt good. I've got a good text tonight. Notice here. You see, he had used the Chaldeans to bring judgment upon Israel. If you study the book of Habakkuk, I'll get to my message in a moment. I'm just seeing a little bit right here. As you study the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is having real problems. And he said, "God, how can you use a people that's worse than your own people to bring judgment and chastisement upon your people? God, how can you do that?" Can I say this? God can do whatever he wants to do. He is God. And when you try to put God in the box, I promise you he's going to break out somewhere. Because you cannot define him. You cannot refine him. And my dear friend, he's God. And besides him, there's no one else. Amen. So we see that God is using the heathen nations not only to chasten his people, but to bring deliverance to his people. He said, "For his people Israel, he'll hold the right hand of Cyrus." Oh my, I love that. Here's a heathen king that's got his hand in the hand of God, and he don't even realize it. Now he does later on, because in Ezra chapter 1, he makes reference that he knows now the God of Israel. Amen. Now I'm glad that walking with God will sure get you acquainted with him. And so we come to our text now, and we find that God has promised Cyrus that he's going to give him, for his work, treasures of darkness. And he said, "For your work, I'm going to give you the hidden riches that's in secret places." In other words, Cyrus, I pay well. If you're going to work for me, Cyrus, I want you to know there's going to be a good payday. And Cyrus didn't have no choice. And so God took care of him. And he said, "I'll give you treasures of darkness." Can I say this and bring it down to where you and I live now? As I sit here on the front pew last evening, I heard numerous testimonies of folk that talked about the darkness, not knowing which way to go. Matter of fact, I had an ear tuned tonight to some of the songs that were sang. Some of those songs was talking about the dark times, the night times in the Christian life. When there's no light on the subject, when there's no direction, when it seems that you've come to a place that you can't go any further, I want to say to you, friend, when we get there, can I tell you, where God is, there is no night. And where God is, there is no darkness. And God can see just as well in the dark as He can in the light, because God is light. And when you don't know, let me remind you, He does know. Now let that sink in for a moment. My family and I, facing some dark situations. We've been facing them now for 15 years. Dark situations. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do in them. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you telling me that you face times, situations that you don't know what to do?" Oh, my Lord. Oh, my. Can I tell you, regardless of what people think, preachers are just humans too. It ain't nothing special about being a preacher other than the call. It don't make us no different than nobody else. We have our own difficulties too. We lay at night wondering how it's going to turn out, what's going to happen. And darkness settles in. I got to meditating on this little old thought. Boy, I went through every outline I had today, and it took me 3 hours to do it that I had with me. I said, "Lord, what would you want me to give?" He seemingly gave redirection last night for the meeting. And the Lord brought me to this, so I'll just give it to you and we'll go. I want to tell you, friend, we, as the children of God, are going to face some difficult times. We're going to face some dark times. Now I want to tell you now, God is interested in the night shift. Whenever everything's dark around, God hadn't gone to bed. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. I'm glad that He's watching over us. Now let me say, first of all, tonight, as we look at this, I want to look at God's night shift work. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? Does God work at night?" Oh, He never quits working. Hallelujah. I want to say to you, friend, that the very first work that's ever recorded in the Word of God was in the night. Back down to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, and I don't care what you believe happened between verse 1 and verse 2. It don't make any difference to me. I'm just saying God never did create anything without form and void. But I want to tell you what did happen. Somewhere in God's creation, darkness fell in. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we are His creation. And sometimes darkness settles in. Amen. And we don't know what to do. But the Bible said that the Spirit of God began to move in that dark place. And God said, hallelujah. Can I tell you that the first work of God that's recorded was done in the darkness? So when you enter the darkness, remember the first thing that God did was in a darker place than where you are now. And He brought it to light. Not only do we see God's first work, but I see, my friend, His first words were spoken in the dark. Yes, sir. What was it, preacher? And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Hallelujah. You see, God's night shift work. I'm telling you, God is interested in your nighttime. And He can work. And He can say words in your night. If you've got an ear to hear. He hadn't forgotten you. He knows where you are. He knows how black it is in your life. You know how that sometimes your faith collapses. You wonder what God's going to do with you when your faith falls to the bottom. Sometimes we say, boy, my faith is gone. What's God going to do with me now? What, the same thing he was going to do when you was full of faith. Could I say this right here? My faith don't determine what God does in my life. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians 2:20. For I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I, for, what is it? Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by faith in the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. You see, in the church dispensation, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're put in Christ. We're in Christ. No other dispensation of people, from beginning even to the very end, no other dispensation of people is in Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We belong to Christ. The Bible says that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Preacher and I was discussing this yesterday, I believe it was, and just talking about it. And you know what an heir is? Listen, I've got a brother. And when Dad passed away last year, when Dad passed away, we were inheritors. We had a little tad of inheritance. He got a pocket knife and I got a shotgun. That's all Dad had. That would amount to anything. And we were heirs. But you see, if we had been joint heirs, what he got would have been mine too. And what I got would have been his too. And since we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, what's that mean, preacher? Everything God has, Jesus has. And everything God has, I've got, because I'm a joint heir with him that's got everything he has. Can I tell you something? We're living far below our potential spiritually because of the darkness that settles in. I know that's strange. I'm telling you, friend, it's as real as it can be in my heart. You know, I thought about this, Brother Barry. There's a lot of folk that think, listen carefully here. The Lord put this thought in my mind as I was sitting right there and I pinned it down. There's a lot of folk that think, if they could just get their questions answered, everything will be all right. Well, if God would just answer my questions. Could I say something to you? Getting your questions answered is not going to fix anything. Watch this. You break a leg. You break your leg. You think it's broke. You go to the hospital. And they x-ray that leg, and that x-ray answers your question. Did you hear what I said? The x-ray answers your question, but it don't fix your leg. See, what we need to do, instead of asking so many questions, just go to the great physician and say, Lord, you know the need that we have here. And I'm believing you and I'm trusting you regardless if you ever answer my questions or not. Believing Him will set you free. Not believing in what He can do will set you free. Believing Him will set you free. So we see God's night shift work. Then I want to say to you secondly, I see God's night shift wonders. Did you know in the night there's things that you can see even though you can't see? Even though your vision is limited, there's some things that you can see in the night that you can never see in the day. Oh my. I thought about the night declares the pitifulness of man. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse number 3, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. That's not time. That's not time. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Hallelujah. I'm trying to say to you, friend, sometimes we think we're really something, but the nighttime will reveal to us that we're just nothing. It reveals to us the pitifulness of man whenever we see and all we can look is up. And when you look up, you see the handiwork of God. And you then all of a sudden you say, God, you did all of that. And you was mindful of me. I'm glad the darkness reveals that God is thinking about me. Praise the Lord. It declares the pitifulness of man. It's in the night season where we find ourselves helpless. It's in the night season when we have to totally and unreservedly submit ourselves to Him. Now there's about 2/3 of the congregation don't even need this tonight. But I'm going to tell you there may, before sun arises in the morning, there really may be a need of understanding God in the night season. Oh boy. It not only declares the pitifulness of man, but in the night it declares the promises of God. You remember over there in Genesis 14 or 15, Abraham, Genesis 14, he's just delivered Lot from the kings of Sodom, delivered the king of Sodom from those five kings. Abraham's delivered them. And now he's refused the rewards of the king of Sodom. And God came to him and said, Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abraham immediately said, Lord, you see that I'm childless. You see that I'm childless. You said I'm going to be your reward, and you see that I'm childless. And Lord, I don't have anything. If you're going to be my reward, how in the world is that going to be? I don't have a child. And God told him, said, Abraham, said, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the seashore. And he said, Abraham, come out here a minute. I love it when God went in Abraham's tent and brought him outside. Come out here a minute, Abraham, and behold the heavens. Now, it had to be dark. It had to be night. And he said, look and count the stars if you may. He said, if you can count the stars, you'll be able to count my blessings on you. Be able to count your seed. You see, it's in the night season when the promises of God are made real to your heart. Woo! Oh, thank God. You know, the Bible said there in Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 7, he said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. He said, Lord, it's nighttime. But he said, before it ever... Now watch this. He said, I have set thee before me. He said, while it was still day, I made sure I was close enough to you, that when the night set in, I could just reach out there and take you by the right hand. Oh, let me say to you, most of the time we drift away from him when the sun's a shining bright. But you don't ever know when the night's going to set in. So you better be walking close to him during the daytime, because we don't know when night's going to set in. And boy, I don't want to be trying to find him when I don't know where he is. And a lot of times we don't, but he said, I have set thee before me, so that I'll know where you're at in my night season. Praise the Lord. You see, he says in Psalm chapter 17, verse number 3, he said, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Boy, these verses need to be expounded on individually. But I'm just simply saying, there comes the night times. He said in Psalm chapter 19, and he says there in verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You get to know God more in the night. The night uttereth knowledge. Oh my. I've been working on a message for about 10 years now. And you've got one or two of those preachers, I'm sure. It's just been rolling around in my heart, and it comes to mind periodically, and I can't ever really get anything on it. It's just probably for me personally. But I thought about the songs in the night. Several times the Word of God mentions, it says in one place, the psalmist said, I recall to mind my song in the night. Now what that is the psalmist had been in a previous night, and the Lord had given him a song in that night. And that nighttime song now is helping him in this night season. Don't forget what God said to you in your previous darknesses. Is that right? And let me say something else to you. Don't ever doubt in the dark what he's revealed to you in the light. The same word he said to you when the sun's shining is the same word now. He don't change his word and his ways and his will in the night. Oh no, stay with God. But then I thought about another verse where it said, and God giveth a song in the night. And you know what? I looked that word giveth up. You know what it means? Renders. That's an old English word for he himself gives. What's that mean, preacher? He giveth a song in the night. Well, that other one was, I recall to mind my song in the night. But where it says he giveth a song in the night, it's not that God gives you a song to sing, it's that God sings to you a song. Somebody said, I've never heard God sing. Wait till it gets dark enough. Ha ha. I'm telling you. That's right. That's exactly right. God sings in the night. I remember this. I remember this as well as if it was yesterday. And if I keep right mind, I'll never forget this. But in 02, and you know this, my wife had open heart surgery, had an aneurysm behind the aorta valve. And they gave us less than a 30% chance that she'd survive. And that day was the longest day in my life. And my daughters, Holly and Heather, said, Dad, what are we going to do? I said, honey, we need to pray. And Holly said, Dad, I can't pray. You pray. And Heather said, Dad, please pray. And I said, girls, it don't seem like I could pray either. Oh, please, Dad. And we gathered around that hall when that door shut. At last, that's as far as we could go. And there we stood, just us three. There were so many people showed up from around the country, they had to give us a wing of the hallway of the hospital they was working on to put the people in. There was hundreds of people that came from all over the place. But there was the three of us huddled up in that hall. I said, girls, I don't know if I can pray or not. They said, Dad, please. I said, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm going to tell you about mid-morning. They'd been in there about 4 hours. And I'd every now and then slip off by myself, try to find somewhere by myself. Slipped off by myself. And I got off by myself, and somehow or another, some way or another, and I do not know to this day where it came from. I do not know where it came from. It couldn't have come over the speakers because I don't think it was hooked up. I didn't have no cell phone at the time, so it didn't come over that. I don't know where it came from. But all of a sudden, to my heart came, when peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll. And right on down through that. Oh, in the middle of the worst hour that I ever had, the worst day I ever had in my life, God sung me a song in the night. And I want to tell you, friend, it done something that nothing else will do. Somebody said, oh, preacher, God don't sing songs. Yes, he does. Yes, he does, and he sings in the darkest of the night. In the darkest of the night, God giveth a song in the night. Whatever my lot, he has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Well, we see here that it declares the pitifulness of man. The night declares the promises of God. The night declares the presence of God. God said in the Old Testament, he said, I'll dwell in the thick darkness. He says in Psalm 42:8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I'm telling you, God works the night shift. Let me give you this last thought. We see God's night shift work. We see God's night shift wonders. The wonders of his promises and his presence. Things that you see in the night you don't see any other time. But this time I see the God's night shift will. What's the will of God when he works the night shift? What's his will when darkness settles in? Well, let me say this to you. In the nighttime is when he develops us. Did you know you can't get a true picture of yourself unless it goes through the dark room? I remember back years ago, before they had this new technology, they would take the picture, and then you'd have to send the film in. I don't care what kind of picture it is, even today, there's got to be a darkness in it. The light, the bright light will ruin a good picture. They would take those film, and they would put them in that red chemical. And if light got in there, it would distort it and destroy it. But that darkness, listen to me, the darkness revealed the truth of who the person was. The darkness reveals the truth of who you really are. Anybody can live for God when the sun's shining. But the darkness reveals who we really are. He develops in the dark. Boy, there's been a lot of times I thought I knew who I was. And then I went through the dark time, and then he shows me myself. When I come out of the darkness. And it sure wasn't what I thought it was when I went in. It's in the dark that he develops. It's a known fact that trees that are planted in the city don't grow like those that's planted in the country. Those in the city, the lights never go out. And the tree, the tree never gets a real good root system where the light never goes out. It's dwarfed. It's dwarfed because the light never goes. It's in continual light. Yeah. And you'll watch this. You'll watch trees in the city. You never see them trimming them, but you never see them growing no bigger than what they are. But you get those trees out here that have to go through the dark times. There's just as much downward as they are upward. The root system is just as strong as the branches. And it's in the dark that God stabilizes us. And God makes us who we need to be. Could I say this and listen to this carefully? Our faith is birthed in the light, but it's developed in the dark. The light of God shone and revealed the gospel. The light of the gospel entered your darkened soul, and your faith was birthed in the light, but it's developed in the dark. You become what you need to be in the dark. Then he not only develops in the dark, but lastly, he delivers in the dark. What do you mean deliver? Well, our redemption was paid for in the dark.
Yes, it was.
The lights went out at noonday, and Jesus took my hell for me.
Yes.
And paid my sin debt in the dark. Praise the Lord. Oh, listen to me. Brother Barry quoted it last night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Listen to this last thought. You know, the Bible says over in the Old Testament book of Lamentations, you don't ever hear much preached out of the book of Lamentations. I don't even like to read it in my devotions. Lamentations is a cloudburst of grief. It's a sea of sorrow, a river of tears. It's a sad, sad story, but right in the middle of it, Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have a hope." It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Somebody said, what's God doing in the night? Making morning mercies.
They are new every morning.
Well, I wonder what God's doing in my night. Making morning mercies. Because the day's going to break. There's never been a night that lasted forever for the child of God. You put that down. You know, I thought about this. Mornings. Mornings come freshly. We have never lived the repeat of a morning. Ever since time began, mornings have been fresh. God's never had to dig up a morning years ago and reuse it. Every morning is fresh. So that tells me every mercy of God, He don't have to reuse mercies. They're new every morning. Mornings are not only fresh, mornings are free. Mornings don't cost anybody anything. The rich and the poor, the intellect, the ignorant, the bond, the free, they get to enjoy the same morning. Ain't that wonderful? And mornings come faithfully. Not only freshly and freely, but faithfully. There's never been a day that didn't start with a morning. And there's never been a day that you didn't have morning mercies. And then let me say that they're going to come forever. Because there's coming a day when there'll be no night. And there'll be a continual mercies. And the Bible said that thy mercies is from everlasting to everlasting. What's God doing in my night? Oh, a lot of things, but there's one thing He's doing. He's mixing up you a batch of morning mercies. And they'll be real for you when they get there. When the morning breaks, they'll be there. But until then, He'll take care of you in the night. I apologize to you tonight for feeling so bad. I am absolutely exhausted and worn out, tired, sick. But my heart's just doing this because of the goodness of God. Oh, what a great God He is.
Yes, sir.
And honest, I don't know where you may be tonight. I don't know. In your spiritual condition, you may be in the darkness because of your disobedience, because of your waywardness. And you remember a time back yonder when God was so real to you, and you enjoyed His fellowship so much. And it's been a long time since that's happened. It's been a long time since God's been personal with you and you've been personal with Him. I beg you tonight, run to the Lord. Run to Jesus. He's a forgiving God. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior and Sustainer. Let's stand, please. Father, I love you tonight.